This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast, by the fans, for the fans.
Welcome to episode 5 of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. My name is Lee Finch, and today I'll be joined by Danny Baker, and we'll be discussing all things AFC Wimbledon. First off, we'd like to offer our condolences to Bryony Little's family and friends. Unfortunately, she sadly passed away during the week, so we wanted to offer our condolences to her family and friends. And then we'll again discuss everything Wimbledon, and I'm going to be joined by Danny Baker. So, Danny Baker, how are you doing, mate? You all right?
Do you know what? I'm absolutely marvellous. Thank you, Lee. Went to the sponsors dinner. I know we'll talk a little bit about that later, but absolutely brilliant night. Big shout out to Owen Williams out there who sponsors Robbo and got me a ticket. It was a night I won't forget. It was absolutely marvellous. And anyone who was there, send us a tweet. Let us know what you thought. I thought it was an excellent, excellent night.
Owen Williams. Is that, that's a joke from...
That's what my wife said. My wife says, what did she say? She said, Owen Williams.
Does he?
Went, go a wine or something like that. And I was like, from Gavin and Stacey.
But, yeah, does he? Well,
thank you very much, Owen. It was a great night. Thanks for having me.
I saw pictures and stuff of... I'm not a sponsor. We are going to be looking to maybe sponsor a couple of pairs of socks. I don't think we've got the budget at the Wombles Had a Dream headquarters.
I have to check behind that sofa, Lee, I think.
To sponsor a shirt right now. But yeah, we're going to be sponsoring a couple of pairs of socks. But yeah, I looked on Twitter and Facebook and all socials, and it looked like a really good night, to be fair. All the players looked like they're... It's weird having the sponsors dinner at the start of the season. Usually it's at the end, isn't it?
Normally you'd think so, but the whole thing was, I mean, it was good for, obviously, only the second time I actually went in, and I got to saw where the big conference area was, which is right by pit side, which was great. And like I said, the food was good. The most impressive thing, though, were the players. They were incredible. We got there early, because obviously I'm a bit of a geek and I wanted to get there early and have a look around. I wasn't allowed to go anywhere, but I was sort of sneaking off. And we were just sitting there, and then when the players came in, they all came in en masse. A variety of different fashion, shall I say. But they all walked in with a variety of different things. Straight away, though, players were coming straight over. Like, Ollie Palmer came and said hello. Darius Charles walked and literally spoke to about 10 minutes about what he's been doing and all the different things. But again, the player who I've obviously been quite critical of, but he was magnificent last night, was Hartigan. He is a lovely, lovely lad. I'm not surprised that he's so highly thought of. He went round to everybody, shook their hands, said hello. He was great. Woodyard. There wasn't an autograph that somebody didn't want. And I was very, very fortunate to sit bang next to Robbo.
Oh, poor Robbo.
I mean, to be honest, he was asking advice about all sorts on me. I didn't have the boots in the car, otherwise I'd have given him another option. But he was just great.
I said, I've been critical of the way Ollie Palmer's played this season so far. I thought he was brilliant against Ipswich, to be fair. But he is a very good character around the dressing room, I think. And if you see, and the way he talks to fans, I said, we've had him on here and he was brilliant when he came and spoke to us. He was really good. And he opened up quite a lot. And he is a really good man. And what I like about Hartigan, and there's one negative in which I'll come on to, but the thing I love about Hartigan at the moment is he's grown. I think the Newport spell has helped him as a person. Yeah. Help him grow, because before he looked quite shy and timid, where I saw the interview the other day again. I think it was after Northampton, where he scored, and he looked and he spoke totally different to what I've seen before. And he looks like he's becoming a man. And I think that's his performances now. I think his performances are.
Robbo was incredible. He basically said that he was up there, he wasn't having a good time with it, and obviously, probably relatively naive, he was like, look, I want to come back. And Robbo was like, look, stay up there, work hard. The manager rates you. And he had a long chat with, I think it's, might be, I can't remember what the bloke's name is, Flynn maybe at North.
Yeah, that's the geezer.
Had a long chat with him and sort of, and just basically said, look, no, he rates you. And he stuck out of that loan spell, and obviously he's come back. And obviously, it was just interesting just talking to him just about, like, just, he's just genuinely seems to really understand us as a club. And he was asking, he was very good as well. He was asking us fans, what do we think? And we had Stu from the 9 Years podcast. He was on the same table. And it was just like really good conversations. Just like, you know, Robert had a couple of his mates. He was asking us about, you know, what's the one thing that we want to do better or how can we improve? And all I said was, I just hope that we manage to keep this really thin line between the professional aspect, which I know we're struggling with the tickets and the like, but that connectivity. Because like literally all those players, Arsenal, Tottenham, it would never have happened. You'd have been, you're over here, the table's over there. Players walked up, sat next to us, actually engaged in not just, hi, how are you? How's things? What do you think of Plough Lane? How do you think we're getting on? It was a genuine two-way conversation. And Robbo even said I was funny. How about that?
Well, yes.
I did buy him a drink after that.
It's just, yeah, he's obviously just buttering you up. But yeah, I'd see what you'd like. Spurs and Arsenal and things like that, big clubs like that, they do it, but it's for the elite. It's for the richest of the rich of their support. And it's good that you were on the toe with Robbo, because then that way we had the number one podcast with Robbo, and then also you had the number two podcast with Robbo, which was...
It was great. That was good to have. Anyone thinking about, don't know if I should do it, it was an absolutely top quality night. Ran really well. The bar was good, the food was decent. Robbo did a bit of a chat to everybody. If you've got the opportunity and you feel that, I think there might be still opportunities to sponsor teams or some of the players or staff,
go and there is. If you look on one of the programs, I think I've got the Bolton program for souvenir, there is players available in there, some of the younger players as well, which is always good to sponsor them because they could be the next big thing. But I think the thing that takes us to a new level with stuff like that is the ground. I've said it before, it takes us to a new level. You think King's Meadow, we had that little bat bar, which wasn't very nice. It couldn't hold that many people. It didn't hold that many people. And yeah, it was good. But so I've got to say, I forgot what we're going to be discussing tonight at the start. So tonight we're going to be discussing Ipswich, the draw away from home. We'll move on to the draw in the Carabao Cup against Arsenal. We will have to discuss the ticket situation again, because that's just come out and what balls up that is. And then we're going to have a new feature where we put each other on the spot with one subject each, and we'll talk about it for a couple of minutes, and then we'll build up the game against Oxford and big man coming to town. No, I mean, no. So yeah, Ipswich. Did you go to the game? Did you watch the game?
Didn't go to the game. Saw lots of different highlights. Great result. Absolutely brilliant result. Just shows us now where again, Robert was talking about how he was disappointed that we could have potentially nicked all 3 points. That's kind of where we are as a mindset. Seems to be now where if you said to me 2 years ago, going to Ipswich and we're disappointed to come away with a draw, I'd bitten your arm off. It just seems we're in a very, very solid place. Disappointed with some of the goals, I'm not going to lie. Particularly, and again, I don't want to keep going on about it, down the left-hand side, we look relatively poor. And it seems that whoever's kind of down there, we're not quite getting that side right. And they seem to, we just seem a little bit loose there. But good balls from Hartigan, good goals. Fantastic scenes, I think. Must have been great there, though. Did you go there?
I've never been to Ipswich. I really wanted to go, but I think a lot of the lads were put off. I watched the game. I did watch it on iFollow, and I thought we played well in space. The negatives first for me was that we played two up front, and they're obviously two big men, Presley and Palmer, and we were just going long. We weren't getting the ball down where we've been playing some lovely football.
Yeah.
McCormick weren't in the game at all. I don't think he touched ball.
Where was he dead. Playing? Far left?
He was playing left where I thought it was more of a 4-3-3, but some people said it was 4-4-2 and he was on the left, Dassel on the right. And I think we both, them two left and right, we just nullified. They weren't in the game at all. Yeah. And it's weird. Dassel's our biggest and best player at the moment. He was taken out of the game, which means we struggle. we then go 2-0 down and think we have to play. As I know a few people that did go there and they said the scenes when we scored was unbelievable. And yeah, to go, we just got to stop giving teams, especially the good teams like Ipswich and teams like that, 2-0 head starts. Like you think Bolton, we gave them a 2-0 head start, a 2-goal head start, sorry.
It's just how do you do that though, Lee? When you just feel, and again, it's tricky, but every time you've got look on a post, the left-hand side seems to come up. Lots. Not the right-hand side, the left-hand side. How do you possibly get rid of or nullify those mistakes when we, in my opinion, we appear to have a genuine area where we need, we haven't, and again, it may be personnel, it might be shape, it might be tactics, it might be experience, but we just seem a little bit light in that one area. How do you manage that?
I think what you said, everything there, the experience, tactics and formation. For me, I'd prefer us to go to a 3-5-2, if I'm honest, or a 3-5-1-1 kind of thing.
Okay.
I don't think you can play Presley and Palmer together.
No, I agree with that.
I like Mboudi, but the problem is I've seen him start games and not been very good.
Yeah.
And when he comes off the bench, he does look good. It's a tough one at the moment because I said the left hand side, I'm not a biggest Nesta fan. No. I think he's struggling. But then Shay Alexander is not a left back either. He's a right back. But then you're not going to take out Henry Lawrence at the moment, who's absolutely flying. I think he's one of our best players at the
moment. I think he's going to be absolutely mustard. I think he's going to be fantastic.
Do you think he's Premiership standard though?
I don't think he is now, but I would be fascinated to see where he is in relation to where Reece James was when he was at Wigan. I'd love to see where those two would be at. I mean, I think the thing with Lawrence is that, and maybe it might be his downfall, is that he's so versatile. But having seen him a couple of times, I mean, personally, he would be a shoo-in at right back and he would stay there. Yeah. For me, I wouldn't think about moving him. I'd say, you're going to play.
Yeah, class he is.
It'll be interesting to see. And maybe he's the answer at left back. Maybe he's the answer. Maybe it's play Shay on the right, which he seems relatively solid, and play him on the left. I don't know.
To be fair, that's a shout because I don't think we've done that yet, have we? We haven't put Lawrence on the left, who has played left back. I love Lawrence. I think he's absolutely brilliant. Reece James thing, I get what you're saying, but Reece James is massive compared to Henry Lawrence. If you look, and he's always
at 19 or 20.
Yeah, he's always been a big lad. He's always had that stature on him. He's always been physical, big, quick. Henry Lawrence is quick, but he's not big and physical. I don't think this. It's like when Force come to us, and you look at Marcus Force, you think that kid can play in the Premiership. He'll score goals in the Premiership. I don't know if Henry Lawrence can play in the Premiership, but I think he'll be a top end Championship player. It's just a shame we'll never be able to sign him full time because I'd love to get him, but that ain't ever going to happen.
No.
I get what you mean with the goals. I thought we kept Pig absolutely quiet. He annoyed me as well. Pig, I know people said it should not.
Where do you stand on the celebrating goals thing? I mean, is it petty for him to do that? Why do we care?
What annoyed me about it, right? I don't care. I think celebrate goals against your old team. I don't give a shit.
I totally agree.
It actually annoys me when they don't celebrate. What annoyed me about Piggott is that when we played Charlton, he did not celebrate against them and he'd only played 12 games for them. Was hardly there, got released and didn't celebrate. Then he plays against us and said, like, it's not a big celebration, to be fair to him. It weren't like he went mad.
Sort of like a little heart thing.
A little heart and point. That could be personal situation and stuff like that. And do you know what I mean? We don't know. But I just think because he didn't celebrate against Charlton and he only played 12 games, I just thought, well, don't celebrate against us. As I said, I'm all for it. I think if you score against any team, you should be celebrating. I don't care if you've been at a team for 15, 20 years and you've played 1,000 games for them. I'd still celebrate against them. But yeah, that was the only thing annoying. I thought we kept him very quiet though. Thought Woodyard is absolutely immense at the moment.
He is terrific.
I think it was actually Stu I was speaking to who said to me, watch him when crowds are in place.
Yeah,
he's missing crowds.
Yeah.
He's missing crowds at games last year where there was no crowds. He's missing that crunching tackle and the crowd going mental and it kind of sways the ref a little bit. I think he's, playing in front of crowds. As I said, I think we need to get a bit more out of McCormick, though, because Doncaster away, we kind of built the team around him.
Yeah.
He got an assist and scored. I haven't seen much from him since then.
Where do you think he's best position? Where do you think is, like, if he would do the same, McCormick, where are you playing? Where's he saying he's playing?
The thing is, you have to play two up front. I'd say put Palmer and Dapo up front together and then put him... just behind. But every week, this is where Robbo, I think, is having trouble. It's the same as we are. Like last week, we picked 11 players. Do you know what I mean? And we had, I didn't have Palmer as my starting, right? But if you're playing two up front, I think Palmer has to start over Presley. Yeah,
I agree.
And then I put Dapo ahead, like next to him. But then I put McCormick just behind the two.
Yeah.
But then where'd you put Asau?
I mean, the one thing he did say, and I didn't bring it up too much. I didn't want to upset him or for me to step out of line. But he would just mention how we've got so many youngsters who haven't had that full season, and that he can't, while we're playing Saturday, Tuesday, to play, plus give them the feedback that he's wanting to improve and give them the opportunity to develop. That was one of his major concerns. Which I can take that on board. But I just think at some point you've got to know your first 11. I didn't ask him. I was very close to asking, do you think you know your top 11? If you had to put it, forget the team, spin a wheel at random, who's your top 11? I should have asked him, but I only asked him 450 other questions, really.
But he knows football is a results business, and at the moment we're getting results. Like Northampton, we were gash. We played awful. Yeah. But we won 1-0, moved on, and now we've got Arsenal win the next round, which is going to make us quite a lot of money. I think sometimes results ain't going to be great, but the performances will be. Other times the performances won't be great and we'll get results. As I said, I still think we should be on more points than we actually are on now. The Gillingham game, we should have won that. Yeah. Ipswich, we'll take a point straight away because of 2-0 down. But I like the way we're going to places like Wickham got battered by Sunderland the other day. We went up there and we tried to play them off the park, and we could have probably nicked the win. Again, Ipswich going to be up there. Probably with Ipswich is they've got about 100 players now.
They bought, was it 20th player yesterday? Sam Morsey, 20?
20 new players. If you were there last year and you're still there, you're thinking, what the hell am I doing?
It's just incredible. Like how we were talking about it on the table, about how you can have Ipswich who have obviously got taken over, but Wigan who have been basically almost bust. And then almost are doing I don't know much about Wigan circumstances. I apologise to people who know more than me. But it just seems a bit like how you can be bust 1 year and then break the bank on a centre forward the next. It doesn't sit well to me.
That's modern football nowadays, man. If you look at, like, I listen to a lot of Talk Sport and I watch all the news channels and sport, you know, we read a lot about the football and stuff. And you look at Real Madrid who were pleading poverty and said they have to go into the Super League to survive. And then they bid in 189 million euros for Mbappe when you can get him for free in 4 months' time. Football's just a mad game now where people say they're absolutely skint and then they pay 10 grand a week for a footballer. That it's a mad old game, football. It really is. That's what I love about Wimbledon as well, is we try and punch in our own weight class pretty much.
Yeah,
and
I agree with that. I totally agree.
Probably a punch above our weight class. I think League One, I think that is our level at the moment.
That's our level, definitely.
Overall,
though, Ipswich, you were happy? Happy with how we were?
I was 60-40 happy.
Okay. So you take 60, the result, but there was an opportunity for more.
If you had said, we draw Ipswich away, 2-2, scoring 2 goals away from home, 10th goal of the season, 10 different scorers, I think it is.
Yeah.
Then, happy. But to give a team like Ipswich a 2-2 goal lead. Did you see the penalty incident? Penalty or no penalty?
For me, I don't... It's a tricky one because my heart says he's made a meal of it. But you know, if you touch a player... The other thing which was terrifying was Will was well paced. He was well gone, bless him. And again, if you're watching, and you would look at our two centre backs and think, right, okay, there's a massive opportunity here to outdo him. But the fact, as soon as he's grabbed him a little, it's only a little tiny little grab, but you just think, as soon as you do that, you're just showing the referee exactly what you're about. I think he made a meal of it, but again, as soon as you, even like you put a palm in the back, you know the player's going down and he knows that. So I don't have a problem with it being a penalty. Annoying. It's just an annoying penalty.
For me, it's a penalty because if that happens at Plough Lane,
we're all going mad. And we're talking about it now.
Yeah, we're going mad and saying, well, he touches him. If he goes down, it's a penalty. If he stays up, he don't get nothing. Will don't need to touch him. I think Robbo alluded on that. He don't need to touch him. Ball's going out.
If he not touched him, I thought Zaneb would have come out and cleaned it out.
The ball's going out of play. He's probably,
and it's wider. I don't know. But... He's been
again,
great.
That's a lack of communication, unfortunately, I think, because Zanev maybe needs to tell him it's going out. Maybe he did. And Will's just stupidly just touched, literally touched it. It is literally a light touch, but I thought it was a penalty. And yeah, to go 2-0 down at Ipswich, you're then making hard work of it, which we did. But the fighting spirit of this team, as you've said before, regarding the sponsors dinner and stuff, and how they've bonded and how they're going around and trying to bond with the player, the fans, you can see that now with that fighting spirit. They're never going to give up. We're playing to the 90th minute, no matter what the score is.
Totally.
So that's good. So, yeah, we'll move on and we'll discuss Arsenal in the Carabao Cup in 1 minute. Welcome back, and we're going to be discussing the Carabao Cup draw against Arsenal. Danny, what a draw that is, to be fair.
God, what? Absolutely wicked. There's the argument between having it at home would have been awesome with a possible TV money, but selfishly, the fact that we're going up to the Emirates to play Arsenal, regardless of how good they are, what team they're going to play, is epic. Absolutely epic.
There's a few of us said, like, what did we want? We wanted Arsenal, Man U, Chelsea at home. Everyone wants that plough lane night in the big cup game at home. I did say I wanted Arsenal away because I've never been to the Emirates. It's going to, we'll get about 8,000, I think, tickets wise, if we want it, because they'll only get about 50,000 there. I think it holds 60. But I don't know. The problem I've got at the moment is I don't know if I can go because my missus is heavily pregnant and she's at that annoying pregnant stage where she's quite annoying. And she's saying I might not be able to go because, yeah, I might have to be at home, but I'm hoping I won't have to be. But, yeah, it'd be all good. But, yeah, tickets should only be about 20 quid. And I think we can get loads of us there, to be fair. Yeah, well, it's just, I also fancy us to win it. I do.
Really? You think we'll turn them over?
Last year in the Cup, I don't know, obviously this year they're pants and they're doing really bad in Premier League and they are playing a stronger team. But last year they played weakened teams. So they, not a weakened team, but they played their under-23s and stuff.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
I fancy us to beat their under-23s. And it's just, I really do. I think Arsenal are in such turmoil at the moment. I think, have you seen the video of Ollie Palmer and his mate watching it?
That was really good.
Arsenal comes out the hat, obviously, before Wimbledon, and he says, winnable this game. I know he's probably joking, but do you know what I mean?
If they're as bad as what they are at the moment, Arsenal, and they can't buy anything, they'll just go absolutely floor it. I think they'll floor it with us. But either way, it'll be a great night. And ultimately, all we've got to do is take... It's not like we've even got to get extra time. If we can just hang on in there and get them to penalties, we're game on, mate. Absolutely game on.
And we're going to be buzzing for it. The players are going to be well up for it. And I said, it is a good tie to have. I said, I've never been to Emirates. I went to Highbury a few times. One of the worst ones was against Chelsea in the semi-final of the Cup. I loved Highbury as a ground. I've never been to the Emirates. I can tick it off now because I'm a bit of a sad ground hopper.
Fingers crossed, yeah.
To be fair, she goes into labour. I can quickly make it back in time. I said, I nearly missed the birth of our first child, so it's not the end of it. Yeah, well, to be fair, I've seen this will be my third child, so I've seen two of them give birth. I don't really need to see the third one, do I?
Yeah.
Arsenal away or
the last one. Have you watched three? You keep the match ball, don't you? So
yeah.
get all the nurses to sign it as they're going around. There you go.
Yeah, so you never know.
Great draw. Money-wise, should be decent. If, like I said, 50,000 at 20 quid, £1 million plus the, I know they, was it 45%? I mean, that's, yeah.
I've seen figures running around of like 250 grand we could be making out of this game, which is huge, absolutely huge at the moment. That's without even the FA Cup run this year. We're going to hopefully get on and you can make money out of that. But yeah, that's huge money for us. And
brilliant.
Yeah, I think 55, yeah, £20, yeah, it's going to, and hopefully...
50,000 times 20 is a million. So
hopefully Arsenal will do the right thing and do what Villa did and give us the whole lot.
Oh, no, they won't do that.
Villa gave, did you hear that? Villa gave Barrow.
Better with Barrow. That was good. I mean, that's a good effort, but I wonder whether, it's at home, whether they'll, I mean, they might give us the whole, like the clearing the profit, but I think it's slightly different away from home from theirs. I mean, I don't know. I mean, but that amount of money is a huge amount of money for us. Quarter of a million is serious.
It's also been confirmed that it's going to be the Wednesday night.
Yeah.
The 22nd, 7:45 kickoff. So that's good. And I am looking forward to trying the food at the Emirates as well. That's meant to be quite decent.
How is it?
Yeah.
I literally next door. I could see it from my desk at my... I used to work at London Met Uni. It's literally from my desk. I could see it. So, no, buzzing for it. Absolutely buzzing. Long day at work. Down there. Watch the game. Bosh.
It's King's Cross, isn't it? You can get to, can't you?
You can either go King's Cross and then get Piccadilly Line. That will take you to Holloway Road. And it's literally opposite. Or you can go King's Cross, or you get on the Victoria Line up to Highbury Islington and walk down.
I ain't been King's Cross for ages. Is the Flying Scotsman still open?
Oh, don't know, mate.
You know what a Flying Scotsman is, though, don't you?
Oh, yeah, loads, mate. Yeah, I've had loads there, yeah. The steak and ale pie, yeah.
You put a pound in the glass to put their clothes back on. It's that kind of establishment, mate. Yeah, I ain't been there for years, but yeah. Yeah, no, it'd be good because you think, there'll be loads of places to drink and hopefully, as I said, we should be able to take as many as we pretty much want there. And yeah, so hopefully there won't be any issues with tickets. Anyone?
I love going to those big stands and just sitting there sometimes, and it sounds a bit odd here, but just be like, oh, wow, can you imagine if we actually made it all the way through to the Premier League? And this was the norm, just one of your 20 away days. I know it's a bit weird, but I just sometimes think, wow, you're actually here. Can you imagine this every week?
It's not weird. I'm nodding my head. I'm shaking my head at you because I don't want to be in the Premier League.
I know you don't want to be in it, but if we stormed up a couple of leagues, you would be the one who'd be standing there going, oh, who have you got? Oh, bloody hell, got Leeds again. I mean, it's just sometimes looking around and thinking, Robbo was talking about his daughters and he was doing what he was talking about his draw. Hopefully he doesn't mind me sharing it. And he was talking about his daughters and he was like, oh, look, come and watch the draw. And his daughters are like, oh, you know, whatever, it's a bloody draw. And all of a sudden they were like, Liverpool. And she was like, what? Like, oh my God, could we actually play against some big teams? And he was like, yeah, all these big teams are in it. And they were ecstatic. Apparently one of Robbo's daughters goes to every single game, home and away. She absolutely loves it. So they got very excited. And it's just another, like I said, another positive thing to say, you know, furthest in the League Cup we've ever been.
Yep.
Good ground. Who knows?
Yeah, it's all positive regards to the Carabao Cup, which is a strange one for us because we never, as you said, we normally get beat first round or we get Northampton away and lose. So
Rambo get a clap for you?
Yeah, I love Rambo.
Yeah,
he'll get a song for me, to be fair. He has to. He's done more.
He's absolutely.
And also the fact that he got loads of shit from Arsenal fans who haven't got a clue about football and hide behind cartoons or Twitter nowadays where you've got people that got their player as their face on there and then they're talking about football and they're just like a 25-year-old virgin. It just does my head in. So they've proper gave Rambo stick. But yeah, he'll be getting a sing-song and a clap and hopefully he'll come over and hopefully after we beat him 3-0, he won't be too sad about it. But yeah. What a ledge. What a game. That's going to be brilliant. But
that'll be sick. Absolutely wicked.
All right, we'll move on. And when we come back, unfortunately, we will be discussing the ticket fiasco again. More shit with the ticket. So we'll come back. We'll talk about that. That'll be fun. Welcome back, and we're going to be discussing the ticket, mainly the season tickets that are meant to be coming out or they were meant to be getting sent out and arriving before Oxford. We are now, 4 weeks into the season? People still don't have their season tickets. Apparently, I don't have one this year, but we're having to pick them up, I believe, on Saturday.
Yeah.
How many season ticket holders do we have? 5,000? Roughly. Close. So that's 5,000 people that might be queuing.
Yeah,
to get season tickets on Saturday. So hopefully they're getting in lots of volunteers because they haven't been lately. I've read things. I've had texts from mates who actually say they want Joe Palmer to stand down over this because it falls at his door now. That if people are not doing the job to satisfactory, he is the manager of that kind of thing and that people should be getting pulled up. They want him to quit. I'm not for that, to be fair. I think you look at the bigger picture of what we've achieved. We've got Plough Lane. And some people might think I'm totally wrong here, but it is a small thing considering the bigger picture. But I can see people's frustrations. Apparently, at the moment, Joe Palmer is currently on holiday, I've been told. I don't know.
Anyone else?
I don't know. But why this is still going on? Why is there still no tickets? I get it. People have to go on holiday. Do you know what I mean? Managers go on holiday and shit hits the fan. But who's running this? Who is running our tickets at the moment? Is it a third party or are we hiding behind it as an excuse?
I mean, I know it's Wimbledon, but I didn't think we'd have to be queuing up like they do at the tennis. I thought we might not have had that queuing up from 6 o'clock in the morning trying to get a ticket. It is desperately, desperately unfortunate. And it really is something that is regrettable. I know that whoever does the comms actually commed the actual company, which is basically almost the first time where they're kind of trying to point the finger. And these are... Yeah, I'm struggling to understand why it can be such a... I don't understand why it takes so long and why this wasn't brought up 2 months ago. I mean, we knew that season tickets were going to be available and coming. I don't understand. So do you think, Lee, that Wimbledon at the club almost programmed these tickets, or are we saying that an external company is actually programming the tickets? Do we know?
I have no idea. It's apparently a third-party company. I don't know. I believe it's happening at a lot of clubs, but I don't like hiding behind that. Oh, it's happening here. So, you know what I mean? Get over it kind of thing, because we should have done enough to make sure it doesn't happen. I said this. Excuse me. We're 4 weeks into a season now. People don't have season tickets. The Bolton fiasco with the fact that it was apparently sold out. And then you look at the actual attendance that has been, again, we haven't released, I don't think, official attendances, but the rumours, there was only 7,600 there, something like that.
That's right. Yeah, Bolton and 7,000 at the Gillingham game.
Right. So that's well below what we could have had.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. And someone I know, close friends with, said it's actually mad when you think about our first ever game at Plough Lane in front of fans was only 7,600. It wasn't a sellout. Some people missed out.
Yeah.
Some people couldn't go. They were on holiday or they had stuff, personal stuff on, but their tickets could not then be resold. I've gone on I hope this person don't mind. He's called Pierre. I know he used to play for the sports team. He's put a post up that Plough Lane is everything we could ever imagine, and we mustn't lose sight of that achievement. Excuse me. This ain't him saying this. This was on the club comps.
That's right.
Inevitably, there were going to be unexpected teething problems. But in this instance, they've made even more frustration because they are utterly beyond our control. And Pierre saying, be grateful. It was always going to be a bit shit. We can't do anything about it. This paragraph stinks. And I agree. I think the comms as well regarding it is literally, it's nothing to do with me. It's nothing to do with us. It's to do with this third party. And as I said, it ain't just the season tickets now. It's the fact that Bolton wasn't a sellout. Gillingham, we had only 7,000 there. We should have had more. Oxford's tickets, they're saying that, oh, we thought it might get postponed because of international call-ups. Them tickets didn't go. How many Oxford fans might be buying? I don't even know if you could buy tickets in the home. I'm not going on Saturday.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could buy tickets in the home end. I don't know when they went on sale. It's just becoming, how much money is that? I know I'm going on.
I mean, it's not just money.
50
though.
Grand.
Not 50 grand. You've also got guys who are potentially going to see the new stadium and come for the very first time and be wanting to be impressed or wowed or isn't it great? And we just come across a little bit amateurish, which is the thing that's difficult. If it's, and again, it sounds a bit harsh, but new fans, we've known that we've been to the well a number of times financially with our fans regarding 25-year season tickets, with the bond, with everything else. We desperately, desperately need to get some new income sources coming in, new fans coming with new money. If we are not going to be able to get them in the ground, or we're showing at a very early stage that we're inept, then things are tricky. I mean, what I would say, and I'm not going to defend it too much, but it does appear that we spoke a little bit about some of the improvements at Plough Lane and they've addressed it. They've addressed some of the things that we spoke about. And on the Facebook page, they've actually addressed some of those key, the little easy wins. And as I think there was Andrew a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about, it's going to be December till they get it right. And I can accept that. But the ticket thing is becoming really embarrassing and unnecessary. And I'm hoping I thought they'd have it done by now. But I mean, it has to be done. We have to be able to pick them up on the Saturday. We'll have one more game of annoying. But just, can you imagine? The thing like my dad said, which is he very rarely says anything of any note, but this was exactly perfect. If you think when the first game was, when we were supposed to be going, which was the first game, obviously Doncaster at home and the big for all, imagine if fans win from that point. It would be an absolute nightmare. And think about that point there to now. We've had all this time for teething issues to improve, to develop the number, the dates. we could have been waiting another year to get in the ground. And that's a concern.
I totally agree. And I think you've hit the nail on the head. Like, with regards to the hospitality, with regards to the food, you know, I mean, we've mentioned the food, like the Saturday game, it was unreal. Tuesday, it was a little bit disappointing. But they're all teething problems that could be sorted. Right, we know next week we need 6 food carts instead of 3. We need like 8 instead of 10. That, again, that's stuff that's going to be worked on, and by December, hopefully, will be 100%. But the ticketing fiasco, as I said, like, it's not just season tickets. At Bolton, I saw people with handwritten tickets to get into 2 games.
Yeah, I mean, did you?
Do you know what I mean? That's embarrassing for
back of a fag packet.
Professional club to
it's
say.
It's like Mike Bassett when he picks the team and writes it on the fag packet, isn't it?
There yeah, and to have 7,000 in. And again, season tickets. I know Anthony Circuit, who works for the club shop, said communications will be coming out regarding how to pick up tickets, how many people are going to be there. Hopefully it's going to be quite nice. Like, there's going to have 50 people volunteer who are going to sit there and they're going to do it in alphabet order. So you'll go up, you'll get your ticket, it'll be quite quick. Because that's all you need is 5,000 people all turn up on one en masse going, right, I need ticket, I want my season ticket, and they've only got one person. Like, again, against Bolton, we only had one printer which broke. It's, you can't have 5,000 people. But what's your view on the point that Who is accountable for this? I know the Don's Trust are going to be holding an investigation or something like that regarding this, and hopefully it don't happen again. But who's are you on the thing that Joe Palmer should step down because of this?
No. And again, the reason why I don't say that is I don't know enough about his role. And I think that the amount of different achievements that we've made over that period of time, I think it would be pretty ridiculous getting rid of who potentially on paper, obviously with the Shakhtar Donetsk kind of a thing, he's a on paper, he's a very, very capable person. And to get rid of him because the tickets are down is different. Maybe it's a COVID hangover. I mean, maybe we're being, this is all out of proportion. And this company who are supposed to organise it have promised us things and they've just bottled it. And we've all had builders or plumbers or decorators say, oh yeah, I'll be there tomorrow. And they haven't just turned up. And that's in all walks of life. But yeah, it's just frustrating that we've had this over a number of weeks. And the thing for me is that, why have we left it so late? Unless, if they are programming these cards, individual people, and this is, then that's one issue. But also, if they are, we could potentially have the exact same cock up next year. Because if they're doing the same thing next year and then the next year, I just, if it's just a case of the physical cards, you come in, you put it on a computer and you swipe it and then it's active, that's one thing, and that's ridiculous. If we're asking this company to program it, then we've got to seriously look at it. I think it's tricky to blame Joe. And I think that, again, ultimately, we can't really get too far away from the fact that we're delighted to be where we are. And yes, it is a little bit, I'm sort of sidestepping it a little bit because I don't know enough about Joe Palmer's job. But it is just, for me, it's just an ignorance and just an annoyance and something that, again, but it does highlight, again, how we've got very professional ambitions, but we also have that amateur side to us still, and at the same, but that is also a huge strength because, like I said, with the sponsor dinner, we wouldn't have the opportunity to be sitting next to them, and the players literally coming up and having a chat, and people wanting to just talk about business and just life, and people sharing numbers and stuff. We wouldn't have that if we didn't have that amateur element. So it's kind of like you can't have this to be super professional. We be a super professional club, and no one gets near the manager, and the players are distant. You, and at the same time, you want to be able to talk to the players, and if. It's just, I think for me, it's a slight give and take.
Yeah, I agree. Again, I'm not for Joe Palmer losing his job. I'm not for anyone, to be fair, losing their job, especially at the moment during COVID times. I think what we need to do, I think we need to let the Don's Trust do their investigation or their whatever they're going to do, and then come up with what was the issue. Was it a third party? Or are we going, yeah, of course they're going to blame a third party, when really it's actually women, where actually it is just a full on, the third party has let us down. Do you know what I mean? And as you say, look at how we fix this in the future. So next season, we don't have the issue because, as you said, we need to get new fans into Plough Lane because that's money coming in, week out, that we need to secure. We've got 9,000. How much is it? Hold 9,000, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, just over 9,000. I mean, like I said, you think, can you imagine if it was 20,000 and everything doubled? Then we're on a real crisis. I mean, like I said, we can manage it around, and we've got some great people around the club who are putting their hand up, dealing with it. And I find it regrettable and quite frustrating that you've got people who sometimes are slagging off people at the club who are actually doing stuff. I don't want to mention names, so I don't know a huge amount of them, but you hear the same old names and they're working their socks off, and you can't knock them for it. It's not their fault. But it's just that it's that balance of if we are, have got aspirations to move into Championship or higher up, we've got to professionalise across the board. And yeah. I feel that, you know, the spelling mistake in the marketing, just silly stuff like that. It's just like, come on, guys, seriously. Like,
yeah, I get what you're saying. I said, like, I think there is a lot of people working hard at the club. As I said, I've already mentioned Andy Circuit. Do you know what I mean? The guys in the club shop, people like that are working extremely hard all the time. And they're always trying to find solutions. And I think that's the thing. I think we need to let the Dons Trust do what we put them in charge to do.
Yep, agreed.
So they can hold the club accountable, whoever's accountable. And then we go from there. And if it is a big fuck up, then we deal with it. We don't blame everyone. We just try and figure out how to fix it so it doesn't happen again in the future. And then if it does, like, obviously, if it does happen again, that's when you then go, right, we need to then look at people's jobs and stuff like that. But yeah, at the moment, I agree. I don't think people should be losing their job over this, because you look at Plough Lane. I said that Saturday at Bolton, when I got into Plough Lane, I was just blown away with how good it was.
Yeah.
Food stalls. And as it is a learning curve, there's a lot, as we said, and Andrew said, previous on there's a lot of work to be done, but once we can't get it, it's like when you buy a new house.
Yeah.
You buy, well, not a new house, but you buy a house that's been lived in previously or something like that. And you go in and you think, well, I don't like the kitchen, I don't like the bathroom, but I can only have the money at the moment to do the kitchen up.
Yeah.
So that's the space I'm going to be in a lot of the time. I do the kitchen up and then I'll do the bathroom later on. I think it's a bit with Wimbledon. We've got a brand new car.
Take the emotion out a bit, Lee. We've got sometimes fans spoke about social media and being straight on it. You know, take a second, just
yes,
think, is this going to be the best? I mean, I'm all for people's opinions and I'm all for it, but I mean, the amount of times, even in a game, when you see people messaging in a game, slagging it, guys, just be in the moment, go and watch the game, particularly guys who comment and stuff, and they're actually middle of the half and they're at the game, so watch the game, like get behind. I just feel like this sort of stuff, try and take the emotion out of it, try and be a little bit more constructive. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. If we keep getting these cock-ups along the way, then that's an issue. But I think all these businesses, you know, like I work at a school and where we go through processes and they're always fine-tuning. And this is unfortunate. But I really hope that we get to a point where we can draw a line under it and just get back to...
Football's very emotive. Football's very fickle. Do you know what I mean? Like, we'll forget the good work that people have done the minute... Like, again, it's the same with players. We'll forget the good work that a player's done because he fucked up one game, cost us a goal. But yeah, I was going to say to you, like, because it's Plough Lane, do you think that's why the emotions are involved so much? Because if it was at King's Meadow, people wouldn't give a shit. They'd just get their tickets on a day and go in.
I think it's also the fact that we've had COVID and people have been it's not just going to a new ground. We've also had a build-up of 18 months of people not going, having their Saturday fix. And having been to the games that I've been to this year, and we spoke about it before, it is absolutely brilliant to get back to games and watching it live and being part of it. The players love it. And that all adds to that melting pot. I just wished, and I'm not saying that everyone's got to be, because you've always got, you know, football's about a talking point, but just people just to pause and just to add value or do their bit when it's appropriate at a time when they've actually had time to consider it, think about it, and then put it into motion. I just feel that these sort of gut reactions don't help anybody at all. And I know it's frustrating, but that's life, I suppose.
People love to moan for moaning's sake, mate. I saw, you know, the sponsors' dinner. And it was all over Facebook and stuff. And I saw one of the moans was that there was people not socially distancing, their masks weren't being worn. And it's like, but you don't have a clue what was going on at night. Do you know what I mean? It's just...
Thing as well, Lee, every single person that went in that room had to be COVID tested.
Yeah, there you go.
24, 48 hours. Every single person. We turned up. I did mine. The person I went with, Owen did his. Every person was told, please do it. And they all did. It's not for here, but it's a broader conversation around this country and how we're dealing with this and how do we come back from this. And that at some point, you've got to kind of go, okay, we're going to draw a line and move on with it. But like you said, ultimately, people will be upset or be social distance or whatever. You can only do what you can do. You can do so much. There were people still wearing masks. It was a great night. Plough Lane's great. The club's doing great. And on the pitch, we've got some wonderful players. This is really annoying and really unfortunate. And I would be much more frustrated if after Oxford, me and my dad haven't got our card in our hand. But for now, we'll just take it and we'll run.
I agree. I think we'll finish the point regarding tickets. And hopefully next week, the week after or something like that, we won't have to talk about the ticket installation.
It'd be nice. We'll be buggered for content. We'll have to think of something new to talk about.
Oh, no. I've got loads of content. Don't worry about that.
Fantastic. Go on in.
Right, we'll be back in a minute.
Bye.
Welcome back, and we're going to be doing our new feature now, which is On The Spot. I'm going to give Danny a subject, and he's going to have 2 minutes to talk about it, and then he'll give me a subject, and then we'll do that. I think we're going to do two subjects. Yes, Dan?
Why not? Let's go out. Let's treat the fans.
Right, you ready? So the first
don't
one.
Be afraid. When we're doing it, you can pause yourself for 2 minutes and rant and tell us what you reckon.
So I'm going to give you.
Yep.
Your favourite person, Anthony Hartigan.
Anthony Hartigan, I think, is a young man who excelled massively in youth. I think he got a hat-trick against MK when he was young. Everyone raved about him. And for some reason, the fact that he's one of the few people in the Wimbledon ranks that can actually pass a ball, that means that people all of a sudden decide they want to be at almost like a quarterback position. I'm really, really pleased. He seems to have filled out. And it is still, despite the fact that I'm a relatively big critic of his, he is still incredibly young and has had 100 games, as I was reminded yesterday. Robbo has a big, big, big hopes and futures for him. I hope he does it. He's a Wimbledon guy, and I would love it nothing more that he has an amazing season. And if he gets Player of the Year, I'll have to speak to the bank of Mum and Dad, and I'll sponsor him next year. So, Anthony, keep having a great season. I'm still not necessarily sure you're my favourite player at the moment, but I really, really hope that by the end of the year you will be. Here end of my 2 minutes.
Well, that's 1 minute. But yeah, I agree. I think
it's only 1 minute.
Oh. That was 1 minute, man. But that's fine. We'll do a minute then, because it's two minutes quite a lot to be speaking about one subject, but especially if it's not your favourite subject. But I think he's going to be Clark. I think he's our best player at the moment currently. The ball spraying. I think he'll chip in with a few more goals this year. And yeah, I think he is. I think he's shoving words down people's throats, which is what I love. Anyway, go on then, Dan.
My one. A bit random. What is your favourite AFC Wimbledon or Wimbledon kit, i.e. current or past? You can pick. I'll give you three. Go on. What's your top three?
Top three kits?
Yeah, for Wimbledon in the history. What's in the loft?
Not really. I got rid of all my kits when we got rid of all my Wimbledon ones. Once they made that decision, I thought, ah, fuck this, I ain't got a club sport, and I got rid of them all, which was stupid. The one I would have loved to have had was the 88, the original 88 shirt.
What, with the Truman on it or the Carlsberg?
Truman, I think I would have gone for. I don't know. The Carlsberg's not. I've got the replica one. You know, the one they remade and they sold that. I got that for me and my boy. That's one of my favourite ones. I didn't like the first ever Wimbledon kit, the AFC Wimbledon one.
Because
it was made out of weird fabric. The
sponsor was like felt, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it always come off in the wash.
Probably itchy.
I'm going to go out here, and the new red one is overrated.
Overrated?
Overrated. I don't like it. Don't like it on.
To roll it.
I've seen it. Yeah, I'm not a fan of it at all. The training gear is better. Favourite AFC? I don't really have a favourite AFC Wimbledon one. I think probably this season still? Home one?
From last the yellow year? Shoulders.
The one that Jonesy done? Yeah, I think that's my favourite AFC Wimbledon. The AFC Wimbledon one's never been that great. I used to get them all the time, and I had a Cuckoo on the back, I had Wayne Gray on the back, and I had Darren Holloway on the back.
God, you pick your players, don't you?
Great. Well, Wayne Gray was a youth team player coming back through the ranks. But yeah, but the 88 one would be the one I'd love to own. The white one. Remember the old white one?
Yeah, I remember the white one. Yeah.
Proper old white one. I like the AFC Wimbledon white one we done when we got in the football
league. Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
The original one. But yeah, the new red one is overrated. Not a fan. Yeah,
I used to love when I was a kid, I had the Hans Seegers. Remember the red?
The goalkeeper
colours.
Yes.
I actually wear that fancy dress now. I've got like my nickname when I was a kid was Rocky, and I don't know how I managed to squeeze into it. I like that one. I like the dark blue and yellow with the I like the LNX one when Wimbledon was good. And I was quite partial actually to the green one. The two shady greeny little, yeah, I quite like that one.
But I didn't
ask me about kits, so I'm not going to give you any more on it.
I hate green kits, especially green and white hoops. But anyway, we'll move on. Yeah, so my next one to you, right? You ready? 2 minutes. Leonardson or Michael Hughes?
Oh, that is not... Well, first things first, remember the very first Leonardson game. We bought him and Kenny Cunningham. I'm certain of it. We were 3-1 down against Villa at home. Came back. Leonardson, as I called him at the time, which was ridiculous. He scored the goal in the top corner and we won 4-3. He was brilliant, but Michael Hughes is magic. He wears a magic hat. When we bought him for what was, I think it was 1.6 from Villa, from West Ham.
West Ham.
And I thought we bought him and I was like, oh, God, I don't know, actually. I don't know much about him. He was just magnificent. Just popping up all over the place. The one genuine, I think, in my opinion, of in terms of a football player, he was the best football player I think I had. I remember seeing Wimbledon play. Not good for, not Chris Perry was a great defender, but a ball-playing footballer at Wimbledon, I don't think there's anyone better than Michael Hughes. From my watching, I used to love the Rash. Obviously, I know you're obsessed with Kimball. I used to love Marcus Gale, Dino, Robbie Earl, but a ball player, giving the ball, take some touches, a little bit of class, a little bit of skill. I don't think there's many better than Michael Hughes. So, unfortunately, Leonardson, great player, big fan, devastated that he went over to Tottenham. I think he went to Liverpool, then Tottenham. And Tottenham is my team I'm not a big fan of. And Michael Hughes, but mind you, he did Birmingham Palace. But, yeah, Michael Hughes, without doubt, unfortunately. How about you?
I love Michael Hughes. His goal against Birmingham, when he was going through. Yeah, and he bangs one that goes straight in. I love... Leo, it was a tough question because they're both so good. And the only reason I asked it because they're both similar position-wise. And as you said, they're attacking midfielders and stuff. The best ever Wimbledon player for me, well, my favourite ever one was Robbie L, to be fair. Yeah, I think he was, if he was playing now, he'd be worth 50 million quid in today's market. But yeah, I thought Michael Hughes was just pure class. But Leonardson was decent. Right, that's 2 minutes.
Right, my last one. Most mental celebration, either one with Wimbledon maybe, and then one with AFC. What was your, and whether it was what was happening or whether you just went absolutely bonkers, which one is the most memorable and when you think you went the most mental?
So Wimbledon is my favourite ever game, which was Wimbledon 4, West Ham 3.
Well, we came back, didn't we?
Yeah, Upton Park. And obviously I went with a load of, I lived up that way at the time. I was only young and I went with a load of West Ham friends. And I saw my friend's mother worked in the away end. So she got me a free food and stuff and said, you're done here. Why don't you go home? I think it was like 3-0, 3-1 down. And then when, I think it was Clark, who went running through on goal and scored the winner. I just went absolutely ballistic. What a game that was, 4-3. Yeah, well, that was just unreal. I loved what John Artson scored for them as well. And it was just one of them things. You never thought 3-1 down at West Ham. You, on a Tuesday night, you thought you'd done. Wimbledon, there's been so many of them. I think the real one, though, and one that was more relief than anything, was Staines. When Mark de Bola bangs that free kick in. And, yeah, I think if we had not gone up then, if we had not got promoted then, I think we wouldn't be where we are now. In League One, I think we'd have been struggling still.
Yeah.
Because it kicked us on from there on.
Amazing.
Yeah,
Key moments.
It was just amazing. And I love the best thing is ever, and we speak about this, one of my close mates, Mark Buswell, loves it. He wants a 1-0 last minute winner other than winning 4-5-0. He'd rather us go 2-0 down and win 3-2 with a last minute winner because that's the best part of, like, look at Ipswich on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
2-0 down, 2-2 when you score to get back into it, and everyone just goes apt. You're cuddling blokes you'd never met in your life, and do you know what I mean?
That all the time, Lee.
Yeah, but it's just one in fit. Like if you were in a bar and you just start cuddling someone, they go ape shit and you get kicked there. Do you know what I mean? And then you get like a court order against you and stuff like that. Where football, you score and you go mental, and you're literally got some geezer all over your birds up. You go, sorry, I didn't mean it. Go, no, it's fine, come here. Like,
when I talk to my wife about football and she doesn't quite get it, and she's like, I don't understand how you can go so potty. And then during the lockdown, Dad wasn't very well, we had cancer, and then he basically was coming over and he couldn't do much, but he came to watch the game. And we sat and watched the Rochdale game at mine. And my Mrs. Hannah, who I love to pieces, she was watching it and she was so... Like the stress level on her She doesn't like horror films or like thrillers, but she was watching it. And when Piggott scored that last minute goal, she went like, she was like, oh my, she, the whole, you just saw her face. And I just went, that is why we watch football. Because we get one in 10 matches where that thing might happen. And you just think, that is why I watch it. Yeah.
Look at Bolton the other day, 3-1 down, 3-all in play.
Gillingham game. They were absolutely pony.
What's yours then?
My one. Wimbledon has to be Marcus Gale's header against Man United in the FA Cup. I was right behind it. As soon as you jumped up, I was like, he's going to score this. I grabbed my mate Fred and I threw him down the stairs and he was upside down. Another mate of mine was just, Nick was just getting bundled. My dad was going potty. Bloke next to my dad was called Gary, who isn't around, God rest his soul. He always used to have like a radio and he just had this celebration. He'd grab his radio, tuck it, have his hand in the air and start jumping up and down. And my dad's a big lad, just bundling him everywhere. And it was just so great because Schmeichel had the goal disallowed at the other end. Went to school the next day. My teacher at the time was a Man United fan and I just had my scarf on. Just took the hit on the detention. I was like, I just don't care. And he was great. And I think for Wimbledon, I think the Jack Midson goal against MK over there, that was massive. That was Toby Ajala just going potty. Only time I've ever like lost items of clothing and gear. But also Luton. Luton, funny story, we were stood at the Luton game and anyone who was there knows how great a game that was. But when you were standing on the seats, where we were, where the floor was, it was like two-tiered. So it's really hard to sort of get your balance. This guy has basically started, we scored and I've absolutely lost it. And so my dad, and this guy came near my dad, he's like a Wimbledon fan. And my dad was worried about falling over. So we just grabbed him and threw him onto like, you know, in between the fans, you've got like the tarpaulin-y bit. This bloke, my dad's a strong lad, threw this guy. And this guy went absolutely flying past the old Bill. And these Luton fans are going mental. My dad was just, and this old Bill, the cop was like, what the hell's going on? But just loving, that's my favourite one to watch about Wordsworth just diving into the crowd. And like,
pick up some random kid.
Oh, just that game. And again, for what it meant and for all of the, it just felt like destiny. That game, I just felt like we were definitely going to come back. And after the game, we weren't sure if Seddon got sent off, if Wordsworth got sent off. Everyone was like, did anyone know what happened? I think from an AFC point of view, that was that one and obviously Kedwell's penalty.
Yeah, the problem with Kidwell's penalty is I flew in from Magaluf to Manchester. So I went on a stag do from, I know we might not be able to preview the Oxford game because we're going on a bit here, but it's great stories these. I was booked off on a stag do to go Friday, Saturday, Sunday on a stag Magaluf. And then obviously we get to the playoff final and I say to the I don't think I can come. And he's like, so I looked into it and I got a flight from Mallorca back to Manchester. Now I've got a cab from Manchester straight to things. So I went to Magaluf for one night, Friday night or Saturday night, wherever it was. Didn't get into a 5 in the morning, was off my absolute tree. Then I had to train plane home. I had the blue and yellow scarf. It's like 40 degrees at the time. I had to take my scarf with me because I have to tell everyone I'm a Wimbledon fan. Do you know what I mean? Can't find cabs anywhere. Lucky enough, jumped in one. Got to the game just before kickoff. And I just stood there the whole game, literally on the biggest come down ever. Worst game of football ever, weren't it? Because it was like so tight and here and there. And then, I was just like, and then I just burst into tears after Kedwell's penalty. So that weren't really a great celebration for me. But the two games you mentioned, thanks to them, man, because I didn't go to either. So
brilliant. Absolutely wicked, they were.
Right. Well, great story. I love stories like that, man. It's brilliant. But yeah, if anyone's got any stories, let us know what the on
send
the spot
us a picture was. And send us your little memory on a tweet. That would be fantastic. Let's get we'll share mine on the picture.
I like them, and send them your on the spot as well, and we'll go through the best ones. But we'll come back. We'll have a brief preview of the Oxford game. That last part of the episode, we'll be doing a brief preview. Sorry, my words are all mixed up. I'm still living off the memory.
Still emotional. You're still crying after Kedwell.
Yeah, and then we'll do a brief preview of the Oxford game. So what do you think? It's a tough game for me. I think it's going to be our toughest game out of the last three, Sunderland, Ipswich and Oxford.
Yeah, good side. I think they're the one side whenever I look at them and I look at a lot of the teams, obviously, in advance and they look decent. Not great form-wise. I mean, they've looking at their sort of They've been a little bit up and down in the last six. They've won three, lost three. One of them being a Carabao Cup against QPR. I think they're third in the league. I know it's very, very early, but I'd be amazed if they're not in the top six. Matty Taylor always looks to find a way of score against us almost all the time. I think it'll be a really, really tough day at the office. Got some good friends who are going, which will be nice. I still think we'll get something out of it. How much we'll get out of it, I don't know. But I think they're a decent side.
Yeah, I think they're a decent side as well. And obviously, I can't stand them. Well, not them really as much, but more their manager. Do you think he'll get some stick? I think that'd be quite him at Plough Lane.
Who do you think gets more stick? Who would get more stick? Evans or Robinson?
Robinson.
And you really think Robinson will get more than Evans?
Yeah, because Evans is just a fat idiot that manages Gillingham and he's dodgy as hell, allegedly. Where Robinson managed them and he loves it, though, to be fair. He loves it. He'll be bang up for this on Saturday, and that's another thing that annoys me about him. But I'm not actually going on Saturday. I'm off to watch Wingate and Finchley versus Basildon United in the FA Cup first qualifying round.
Oh, right. Is that near your end, is it? Or is that just another game you've been to?
No, it's because I'm trying to watch from the extra preliminary all the way through to the cup final.
Oh, you're trying to follow?
In the FA Cup. And Basildon United, won. They've got Wingate, so whoever wins that, I'll be following next. But I think it's going to get to I know we're going off the Oxford game here, and probably no one really gives a shit, but it's probably going to be hard to do once I get to the later rounds when it's like Man U Liverpool and I can't get any tickets.
Oh, don't make excuses now, Lee. Don't make excuses now.
I'm at Wingate and Finchley. I'm taking my boy along, so he's going to love that. Sorry, boy, we're not going from Wimbledon, Oxford. We're going to a FA Cup first qualifier.
Cool. So is this the very first game of that sort of run?
No, I've been to the extra preliminary. I've watched Basildon versus Stansted. Basildon won 4-0. Then they played White Ensign in the preliminary round and they won 1-0. And this is the first qualifying round. There's still four qualifying rounds to go before they get to the first round proper.
Imagine if you follow it and you all roads lead to Wimbledon. That would be absolutely bonkers.
Yeah. End up getting Wimbledon. First round Wimbledon win. And then Wimbledon all the way through to the final.
Oh, that's quite cool. I'll be going. I'm going to be going with my old man. Tickets permitted, obviously. So looking forward to it. And like I said, I've got a few friends I've not seen in a while. They're going to be in the Oxford end. Just started work, obviously, at school. And we've got a gap student. He came up and said he was an Oxford fan. So I locked him in a cupboard, which is obviously what you've got to do. But I think it'll just be... What was good is obviously Dapo didn't want to go with Scotland because of the COVID stuff, so he stayed, which is really handy.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, he basically was talking about the country that Scotland under 23s or whatever, whoever is under 21s maybe, they're on the red list or whatever. So he's decided that he didn't want to go. I think Jokers has gone though. And I think he'll be crucial. It'll just be interesting to see. For me, I'm looking at a couple of things, mainly the crowd. I'm obviously looking at how busy it's going to be in relation to other games. Number two, I'll be fascinated to know whether they're going to still play two up front or whether we're going to go back to a one up front with other people around. And it'd just be interesting to see, in my opinion, how far we're off from who I think someone definitely is going to be in that top six. I didn't see the Sunderland game or Ipswich, but I would be amazed if Oxford are not in that top six. So I'll be interested to see where we're at in relation to them. And it'll be a good game. Looking forward to it.
I said, I think it's our toughest test to date at the moment. I think it's tougher than Sunderland and Ipswich. I think you're right. They'll be thereabouts around the playoffs. Again, it's a tough division this year. I hope we play two up front, but it's Dapo and Palmer together with McCormick just behind, maybe Assel then. It's hard. We've got such good strength in depth at the moment. It's a good problem to have. I do like the fact that we should be playing Dapo, Palmer, then maybe SL behind or McCormick behind. But it's a tough game. I really think we could win, but I wouldn't be surprised if I looked and we have lost, unfortunately, but it is a tough one. But hopefully.
I think we would, if right now, if you ask Robert, would you take a 1-1? I think you'd take it. I think we're going to find it tough. I think we're going to have a bit of time without the ball, have to be organised. And again, as I said before, and I'll say it again, I'm concerned about their left-hand side. And if they're going to go, if they've got anyone half decent, I don't know much about Oxford in terms of who they've got, anyone down that side of any note. And I think, of course, Seddon's coming back, which will be interesting. He's at Oxford this year. So hopefully, I'm going to say, I know you haven't asked me, I'm going to say 1-1. And I'm going to say we're going to score with a left-footed Henry Lawrence goal. There we go.
Hopefully, the Steve Seddon from last season comes.
100%.
And not the Steve Seddon that we had originally, like the OG Seddon. Hopefully, it's last season Seddon. The good, as you said, the plus point is soccer's gone to a red list country. So that means he's ruled out now for a few weeks because that's good. Bless him. He's been our weakest player, to be fair. But
I'll tell you what, Seddon, what a disappointment he was when he came back, wasn't he? Like, no, he, poor. He scored that goal. I think he scored in the very first game against Fleetwood. And then after that, that was it.
Yeah, the OG Seddon was unreal and everyone was buzzing to get him back. We talked about it on the pod last year, buzzing to get him back. And then he just, I don't know, it was awful. But yeah, I'm going 2-2 again. I think there'll be goals. I think Oxford are leaking goals as well. So 2-2 and old fat boy gets a bit of stick, which is good for us. But yeah, please tell me what the food's like this time.
I will do. What do you want me to get this week? Why don't you tell me what I've got to have and I'll have it and then you can tell me what you think.
It's a tough one because I don't know. The kebab looks good. Okay. I know when I went to Bolton, someone had a bit of gnocchi, which blew my mind that gnocchi's been served up at football.
Just kick that home.
You know what I mean? So, you not like gnocchi?
Oh, well, who doesn't like gnocchi, eh?
Gnocchi's amazing.
Or gnocchi, all that sort of stuff. I think me and my dad might be going for a pie mash en route.
What, Harrington's down in Tooting?
Yeah, down in Tooting. Dad used to live down that way. And we were looking at, I'm in an hour about how to get there. We're still kind of experimenting on which way we want to get to the ground. And he was like, why don't we do a pie mash? And I was like, I'm never going to turn down a pie mash, Dad.
That was my pre-match ritual. I used to live in Florence Road, near Hayden's Road.
Yeah.
Go down to Tooting, get pie mash, then get the bus all the way to Kingston, and then go to the Peel, obviously, for the metal music.
Yeah.
Right, so, because I like metal music.
Array of Italian beers,
They had some good beers in there. Good waitresses were quite nice. And then, obviously, go to the bar, and that was, double pie, double mash, plenty of liquor, chili vinegar, bosh. Right.
No jelly deal, though, yeah?
No, I'm not. I'm East London born and bred, you know what I mean? I was born in the cobbles of Barking, so East London's finest. But yeah, fine mash, I was brought up on it. But yeah, blinding stuff. Anyway, I think that'd be the last bit of the podcast tonight.
And so, on that bombshell, on pie mash, we'll leave you.
Thanks very much for joining me tonight, Danny, and we'll see you soon.
Take care, guys.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wombles Dream and on Facebook at the Wombles Had a Dream. Get involved. By the fans, for the fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.